Chazar zeichen nishma shabachi cheskel shagam and Rabbi Yehuda mesechta erev and daf mem tes. Rabbi Avuna said of the chotzer that's between two mavis, joins in the erev of the mavi that it typically does not use for access, so the other mavi, the one that it usually does use for access, can make an erev without this chotzer and the erev will be effective. Rabbi Avuna name Shmuel said if the mavi that the chotzer in the middle typically uses for access had made their own erev, leaving out the middle chotzer, and the other mavi, which it doesn't usually use for access, that chotzer, had not made an erev at all, we say that the middle chotzer is part of the mavi that has not made the erev, in this way allowing the erev that was made by the first mavi to be effective. Rehuda name Shmuel said if one of the members of the erev is particular about the bread that he gave and doesn't want anybody else eating it, it's not an effective erev because the word erev means a mixture, which this is not. Reb Chanina said it is a valid erev because although these people these people will be known to be stingy people. Rehuda name Shmuel also said if one of the members of the erev keeps his bread in a separate keli, it's also not an effective erev. I, the seemingly only follows Beishami, who say that an erev split up into two kelim is not a good erev. However, Beis Hillel says that it is a good erev, even if it's split up into two kelim. Murray answers, Beis Hillel only allow when it's split up because it didn't fit into one keli. Here we're discussing where one sets his erev apart because he doesn't want it commingled with the others. Even Beis Hillel would agree that it wouldn't be a good erev. Shmuel needs to say both of these halachas, because if he would just say the first one, we would say that there it's not effective because he doesn't let anyone share in his food. In the second case, where he does, it would be effective. If you only say the second halacha, we would say that there it's not effective because it's in a separate keli, but in the first case, it's in the same Kaylis over there should be effective. That's why we have to say both halachas. Rabbi Abba asked Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel said that the owner of the house in which the Erev is kept doesn't need to give bread for the Erev. Presumably this is because he has bread in the house and that bread can be considered joined with the Erev. But it's in a different keli. Rabbi Yehuda answered, the reason he doesn't need to give bread is not because he has other bread in the house. It's because since it's being kept in his house and he truly lives in the house, he's considered to be living in his house along with the other members of the Chotzer. Shmuel said an Erev works because by giving bread it's as if the giver has purchased a piece of the house where the Erev is. The reason why money can't be used for this is because people don't usually have money handy on Erev Shabbos that are abundant instituted that bread should be used. They said that even if money is used, it still won't be effective because they didn't want people thinking that money is the ideal way to create the Erev. Because if people would believe that, they wouldn't have money handy, they'd stop creating Eruvim, which is something the Rabbanan wanted to prevent from happening, and that's why they said only with bread or food. Rabba says that an Erev works because by placing the bread there, a person has established his residence in that house where the bread is. The difference between Shmuel and Rabbah is if someone gives a keli for an erev, it can be used for a kinyan, but it can't be used to create a residence. Or if he gives bread less than a shahar pruta, it can't be used for a kinyan, but it could be used to create a residence. Or allowing a cotton to collect and place the erev. A cotton can't do a kinyan, but he could simply put something down to make the food act as a residence. Bayes Rabbah, your view and Shmuel's view are difficult. The Bryce teaches that if a chotzer made an erev and one person of that chotzer takes bread to join with another chotzer as well, the entire first chatzar is deemed to be joined with the second chatzar. However, it's only this person who has made the acquisition or established a dwelling. So how does it help for everybody? Rabbi answered, this one person is doing the shlichus for the rest of the chatzar. Rabbi named Rav Chon Bar Guri, named Rav Passens like Rav Shimon, in the case of the three chatzeros, with the middle one making an erev with the outer two, but the outer two not making with themselves. Dr. Mishnah, if someone's traveling home on Friday evening but finds himself still beyond the tchum of his house at the onset of Shabbos and he sees a tree or a fence that's within 2,000 amos from where he's currently standing and is also within 2,000 amos to his house from the other side of the tree. So if he says, my residence should be under that tree, he said nothing. It doesn't help. If he says, my residence should be at that tree's trunk, it's effective and he can walk the 2,000 amos to the tree and then the 2,000 amos additional amos to his house. If he doesn't recognize any tree or any other landmark, or even if he does but he's unaware of the halacha that allows him to use the landmark as his area, if he can establish his Shabbos residence in the place that he is, and he gets 2,000 amos in every direction from where he is at the start of Shabbos. Rechini ben Antigonus says the 2,000 amos are measured as a circle with him as the center and a diameter of 2,000 amos all around. The Chum say he gets a large square that's large enough to hold the circle of Rechini, but thus he gains now more because he gains the corners beyond that circle as well. This is what the Chum meant, Zakhtik Mishnah, that a poor person may make an erev with his physical presence. Or Rechini said only a poor person could do that. Rechini said even a rich person can do that. The allowance of bread was a kula that was instant so that the people can make an Erev without being physically present. Fact number, what does Mishnah mean that he said nothing? If he says it, my place is under the tree, the Rav says it means that he has no tchum whatsoever and he has to stay in his four amos. By stating that he wants his residence under the tree, he says that he doesn't want to make his residence where he is right then. Therefore, he has no residence at all and he is limited to four amos. Shmuel says his residence takes effect under the tree, but he may not walk the remaining 2,000 amos from the tree to his house because we're unsure where exactly his residence is since the area under the tree is larger than four amos. And he must be machmer and count the 2,000 amos tchum towards his house from the part of the tree that's furthest away from from his house, thus creating a distance of more than 2,000 amos and making it impermissible then to walk to his house. Rav explains the reason of Rav to be that because he did not single out a 4-amma area, can't become his Shabbos residence. Another version of Rav says the reason of Rav is that by saying that he wants his residence in an area with multiple 4-amma areas, it's as if he's trying to make them all into his residence. Since a person can't make multiple residences one after another, he also can't do so simultaneously. The difference between these versions would be if he says he wants his residence to be in 4 out of the 8 amas. So according to the first version, since he still hasn't singled out a place of 4 amas, he still hasn't made a makom shrisa. According to the second version, since he didn't try to make more than one 4-amma area as his makom shrisa, it still will be effective.